Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. And we do that because there are so many toxic chemicals around in toxic consumer products, in the air we breathe, in the offices we work in our homes, and even in our bodies. We're carrying around toxic chemicals that we've been exposed to in the past. And all these toxic chemicals can affect us physically, mentally, spiritually. And if we eliminate them, take charge of them, decide that we don't want them, I've seen in my own life and in others amazing improvements in health and well-being of all kinds. So all of this is here for you to choose if you want to, and I'll just provide all the information I can. And every weekday, I have different guests on who talk about how they're contributing to making a toxic-free world. Today, we're going to talk about Valentine's Day coming up. Valentine's Day is a wonderful day to celebrate love, and but it also has a lot of toxic exposures to it, particularly the toxic exposure of sugar. But we're going to talk about different ways to celebrate Valentine's Day that can be healthy and life-affirming today. My guest is Annie Bond, and she's the author of a number of books about toxic-free living. Clean and Green was her first one, and Better Basics for the Home, Home Enlightenment. She has got as a cookbook called True Food, and she just has been doing this almost as long as I have. So we have lots of experiences. She's done a lot of writing of articles and websites, and her website is, well, Annie, I forgot your website. You know what's going on today? Hi, Annie. Say hi.
Hi. It's so nice to be here. Thank you. Just anniebbond.com is fine.
Thank you. I'm sitting here without being able to see my usual screen on my website because I'm actually redoing my website, and it's taking just a couple days longer than I expected. And I had to shut down my old website, but the new one isn't ready yet, so I can't see anything.
Right.
Yeah.
No problem at all. So that's it. anniebbond.com.
Good. So we're talking about Valentine's Day. And for everybody who's listening, Annie has been on 4 or 5 times. She's one of my regular guests. So we've all heard her story, but I understand that some of you might be listening who don't know anything about Annie. So Annie, why don't you tell us again something about you?
Sure. And yes, Deborah was in a way my mentor because I got into this, and she was the only person that was writing in this field when I started, and I just have a little slightly different angle, so I decided, well, I guess there might be room for me. I don't know, but I'll try because I have some things to say. But anyway, I was poisoned in 1980. I worked at a restaurant that had a gas leak, and I was very, very healthy. I was 26, and it was one of those things. I was breathing the gas so much because I was away. I was a waitress that I got really exposed, and you know, suddenly people started passing out, and it was one of these catastrophic things where 80 people had to be taken to area hospitals, and it was a big deal. So I had, at that point, they say I had permanent central nervous system damage. I don't believe it because I've worked so hard and I feel like I lead a pretty normal life now, but it hasn't been without a lot of work. And then after that, I sort of had back-to-back poisonings. Our apartment building was exterminated with a pesticide that's been taken off the market because it's so incredibly neurotoxic. And so I was just couldn't have been more vulnerable, and that was just did me in right then. And so I got very sick. I was basically a bubble case for a long time until I learned how to live without chemicals. And then I was like a wilted plant that was given water, and I just in 6 months, I popped back and was well enough to have a baby, even, my doctor said. So I just was, it was sort of an incredible testament to having an unwavering need for clean air, and I just didn't stop till I got it. And
yeah,
that's enabled me to lead a normal life ever since.
I think that that's just a really important point, because I had the same experience where, and you know, you and I were dealing with this so long ago when nothing was written about this. And, I mean, when I started, there was only one book that even talked anything remotely about it. And And so I just took the idea in that book, which was that if you could identify where the toxic chemicals were, and of course it didn't have very much information about that, if you could identify where the toxic chemicals were, then you could recover from this immune system problem that we were both having. And so I just took that to heart and I said, I'm going to find the toxic chemicals in my house. And I'm going to figure out how to get rid of them. And in some cases, that meant just getting rid of whatever it was that had the toxic chemical and having nothing to replace it. It's not like today where you can go to my website and find anything you want that's toxic free.
I know. I mean, my work especially is almost obsolete because it's formulas. It's the old folk formulas. That's what interested me, was finding how did they used to do it? You know, how did they come up with these? How did they polish the furniture and things like that before we got into the petroleum age? And now I think you can just about do anything with, there's a green product for just about anything.
There is. But, you know, Annie, I think that there is an important place for people making things themselves and having the power to be able to decide what goes into your products and not just leave it to manufacturers. Not that it's not good to have things be manufactured, but, you know, until...
It's just a beautiful simplicity of that lifestyle, too.
There
I
is.
Mean, I have to say, once had an editor come and she could not believe under my kitchen sink I had five things there, you know, baking soda, washing soda, vinegar, few things like that. And it's not like I live only on homemade cleaning products. I mix and match with a really good green detergent for washing my dishes, for example, things like that. Mm-hmm. But just, I mean, some of them you just can't beat. So why would you ever want to spend a lot of money on something that's not as good?
Well, you know what? That's what under my kitchen sink, that's what it looks like too.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. And you know, over people say, how do you do that? How do you get there? And I always say it takes about half an hour in your life once to make the decision to change, find some resources. And then once you've made the decision to change and you know what to do, you're set for the rest of your life. And so you just need to make that intention at some point and then you'll be fine. Forever.
I totally agree. That's all it took was, I mean, in my particular case, your books didn't exist yet and my books didn't exist yet. And so it took me more than half an hour to figure out what I could
do it.
But Annie and I have done all the groundwork now. And Annie, you really have, I just want to commend you for the tremendously helpful and thorough job that you've done of documenting all of this. And now it's done.
Oh, thank you,
and
everybody, that means the world.
You really did a lot. You did a lot. I've focused more on the consumer products part of it, but I really appreciate all the work that you've done to come up with these folk formulas and preserve them and put them together so that they can be used off into the future. You've made a tremendous contribution.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So,
I have to just interject that somewhere down the line, I hope I'll have to make sure this is instilled in my daughter. I probably have the biggest library of folk formulas of anybody, books with folk formulas in them, than anybody on the planet. And so they should go into some special library somewhere.
They should
sometime.
Go into a special library. Yes, they should. And you should make sure that happens because it's that kind of information should not be lost.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, yeah. So I just want to make the point to people who are listening that both Annie and I come from having had these toxic exposures to the point where we were disabled and not able to function in life and having to figure out how we were going to solve the problem. And in both of our cases, the major thing that we did was to eliminate the toxic chemicals that were making us sick. Of course, there's other things I did, and I'm sure there's other things you did, Annie. But wouldn't you say that the first bottom line thing is to eliminate the toxic chemicals? Because
Absolutely. Because the people that tried to just build their immune system and stay in a toxic place just never thrived the way I did.
Yes. And we can see, you can look at both of us and see how we're thriving and how much energy we have and how we're pursuing life and that we're out there talking and doing things and writing books and it's like if somebody has a chemical situation where they've been poisoned, it can be recovered from is the point. We need to go to a break and then we'll be back and we'll talk about Valentine's Day. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest is Annie Bond. Listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Annie Bond, author of many books about toxic free living. She's at AnnieBBond.com, and today we're talking about Valentine's Day. Well, Annie, I love Valentine's Day.
Very nice. But, lovely.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that probably we shouldn't be putting in our bodies on Valentine's Day, and let's start with chocolate. We could talk about five hours about chocolate, but
we couldn't. I just would recommend that we can rephrase that to say that we shouldn't put in our bodies, but also that there are many things we can put in our bodies because chocolate is such a healer of the heart in so many on a biochemical way too. So,
well, let's talk about chocolate because I think that chocolate that's the iconic thing to do for Valentine's Day is to give chocolates, and I think that the issue is not chocolate or no chocolate, because chocolate itself is actually a very nutritious food. The problem is what gets put and mixed with the chocolates. And so what you want to do is stay away from chocolates that have a lot of sugar, refined white sugar in them, or high fructose corn syrup or things like that, and go to the natural food store and buy one that at least has a natural sweetener.
And it's very dark, because it's the really, really dark chocolate that's incredibly good for your heart.
That's right, like 70 or 80%.
It gets really, yeah, I eat 85% dark.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I do too. You know, when I first, many, many years ago, when I first started not eating sugar, when I was very, very sensitive to chemicals, one of the first things that I did was I stopped eating sugar. But I love chocolate, and I still love chocolate. And so I tried to eat cooking chocolate, baking chocolate, which has no sugar in it at all. And that was so bitter. So bitter. Oh, my God. And I decided, nope, this is too bitter. But having that experience of going all the way to totally sugarless chocolate, I could back up to like the 80% and like the really bittersweet. And it actually tasted good to me.
If I have even 70% now, it tastes so sweet, I can't stand it.
Really?
You do get, as you say, back up into it, you know, and 85 tastes delicious to me now. So
Yes. I like it very bitter too.
But I keep thinking how wonderful it is for my heart. That's the thing. It's just staggeringly good for your heart. I've read so many, you know, scientific studies about how good it is for your heart.
It is.
That I'm like really sold on it for that.
I'm really sold on it too. I just went on a temporary 30-day diet, and I'm on day 19, I think it is, of the diet. So there's no chocolate, no sweetener of any kind for 30 days. But prior to that, I was eating chocolate every day. I just have this little chocolate treat, and I make it myself with cocoa powder, organic cocoa powder, and coconut sugar, because coconut sugar is the lowest glycemic. Organic coconut sugar comes from the nectar of the flowers on the coconut tree, and it has a flavor like brown sugar. So it
totally with you, 190%, Deborah.
Yeah,
that combination's fantastic.
It is, and so I would just mix it up with a little bit of organic
butter.
Isn't
that funny? After all these years, we just keep honing in on exactly the same things.
Yeah, I know.
This isn't about the toxic cleaning products. I mean, these are our foods. You know, we're doing exactly the same thing.
Right, right. So,
an educated eye for you, everybody. I think it's like we have such an educated eye. We keep going till we find what is the right, the best and healthiest for the planet and for us. I mean, I think that's really true.
We do. And I think that there's probably some truth to it, because each of us independently finds it I mean, we have the same standard and we go find the same solutions and we're so much in agreement. One year, what I did was that I wanted to like not have any sugar at all. And I came up, remember when I used to be making all those recipes with natural sweeteners? One year I decided no sweetener. And what I did was I took a nice soft date, a fresh date. Well, I guess it was dried, but you know, they're nice and soft. And I rolled it in cocoa powder and that tasted so good.
Well, that sounds delicious.
It was so sweet from the date, and you had just enough chocolate so that it tasted like chocolate. It didn't need to be cooked. It didn't need to be anything. It just is cocoa powder. And nowadays, there's these things called cocoa nibs. If you're not familiar with them, you probably know them, Annie. It's just
I know that. I love that brand because I buy my cacao powder from them. Yeah.
And so what it is a, it's just the cocoa beans cracked up into little pieces. And so it's even like there's no processing at all. It's just the cocoa bean. Now they're pretty bitter. And I'll tell you, they have a big kick of caffeine in them. And so when I eat them, I'll just take like a little, just one little one because otherwise I'm wide awake. But I mean, that's as pure and unprocessed chocolate as you can possibly get. And so that's a possibility too, is to just grind those up. And
or to use those ingredients. I mean, buying the cacao powder, cocoa powder, however, that you buy the purest possible one at the health food store, and then I'll add a little bit of, coconut sugar, and then it's just absolutely delicious cocoa. That will get my caffeine hit sometimes. I mean, not my caffeine hit, my chocolate hit for me.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of ways to be creative with it. I have in the past, made all kinds of chocolate desserts, for Valentine's Day rather than going out and buying chocolates. And so that adds a little extra love to it too. And
I think that's very nice. One could find a really, really good truffle recipe. And I have one actually on greencheekcafe.com. That's greencheekcafe.com. But I put it up there many, many years ago before I was deeper into the food issues. And one could substitute the sugars, but it's a fabulous recipe for truffles if one wants a recipe. It came down through a few grandmothers from one via France, and it's just fabulous.
Ooh, I'll have to go look at it.
Substitute the sugars, right.
Once you start thinking in terms of making things, like you could make if somebody, say you have somebody, we have to go to break again. But after the break, we'll talk more about chocolate and other things that have to do with Valentine's Day. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. And my guest today is Annie Bond. And her website is anniebbond.com. Listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Annie Bond. We're talking about Valentine's Day and how to be toxic free on Valentine's Day. So, Annie, just to finish up about talking about chocolate, I wanted to mention that there are so many chocolate recipes of things that people could make. Like, for example, I have a friend who's gluten intolerant. I mean, I don't eat gluten myself, but he's never been able to eat gluten. And so he can't just like go down to
a bakery. He's more like celiac, true celiac, it sounds like.
Yeah. And he can't go down to a bakery and buy a chocolate cake. And so for me to make him a gluten-free cake is a very, very big deal for him. And make it with natural sweeteners and things like that. You know, and so to me, doing things like that is so much more important to give things from your heart that are really things that the person will really appreciate rather than just giving a card or, you know, things that you buy, consumer gifts, to figure out how can you do something really special for this person. And that's something that I've been known to do. I know when I was married, Larry had a favorite dessert called Cur à la Crème, which wasn't chocolate at all, but like this kind of cheesecakey kind of thing that you make in a heart shape, cur being the French word for heart. And then you put it in a pool of raspberry sauce. And that was his favorite dessert, and he always wanted it on Valentine's Day. And so I made what he wanted.
Yes, of course. Oh, that's. I mean, if there's ever a time for a heart-based gift, I mean, that Valentine's Day is it for sure.
Yeah, but another thing that I like to do is to roast beets and then cut them in slices. And I have a little heart-shaped cookie cutter,
and I cut out
little hearts, red beet hearts, and put them in the salad.
That's a really nice idea, and then you could use all of your the peels to simmer in water and get a lot of beautiful red dye. And then, if you made a frosting or something, you could mix the beet into it, and you would end up having a great red event, you know, confection of some sort.
I think that would be a great idea. So, yeah. Annie, tell me about your most memorable Valentine's Day.
Oh, my gosh. That's they haven't really been a high point in my life. It was actually one of the big challenges of my last marriage, because I would say, you know, I really would have meant a lot to me to have had something, you know, a gift. And he said, but, you know, I love you. And I'm like, well, but it would have been really nice to have had something. And so they've usually been sort of sad days for me because.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I love being able to do things. You know, I love that kind of time. So I love doing it for my daughter and always would get her something special, or make something, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, so what about you? Why don't we turn it around to you?
Well, I actually have three memorable Valentine's Days. I was thinking about this prior to the show, and I was thinking, well, which one is the most memorable? And I think, I'll tell one of them now. Maybe I'll tell another one later. But the one that came to mind first was that there was one Valentine's Day when Larry was off in California after we moved to Florida, the first Valentine's Day. He was... we wanted to move here, but he still needed to be in California. So he moved me to Florida, and I was here alone, and he was back in California by himself. And when it got to be Valentine's Day, it just got closer and closer and closer, and I thought, you know, I don't want to be here when he's in California. And the day before Valentine's Day, I decided that I was going to go to California and see him, which meant getting a flight the day before Valentine's Day. I had no money, but I was determined that I was going to go see Larry for Valentine's Day. And so I borrowed some money. I got a flight. I took the red eye, and on Valentine's morning, I surprised him in California.
Oh, my gosh. What a wonderful thing to do. That's awesome.
Thank you. But, you know, when I got home, he had sent me a Valentine. And what he had done is he had gone and got this huge piece of butcher paper, and then he put it down on the floor and laid down on it, and he traced all around his body.
Oh. So,
and he put his arms out open, and so he sent me like this big hug, a life-size hug.
That's the cutest thing ever. That's so sweet.
It was, and it was so adorable, and I put it up on the wall. The whole time that he was gone,
big
Valentine up on the wall. So see, there's so many ways that if you're just creative about it, you know, that you say...
Yeah, that story, though, I was afraid that he was on the plane coming east. That reminds me of that love story about the woman who cut her hair to buy the watch for the man, and the man sold his watch to buy her a comb.
But, you know, now that you brought that up, I'll tell you another one of my three stories, and that is that there was another Valentine's Day when we were apart, when we were living in California. And we were living in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I needed to go to Sacramento to work. And I was supposed to work for, like, the few days before Valentine's Day, and I was supposed to come home the night before. So I'd be home on Valentine's Day, and the job went overtime. And I called him up and I said, I have to stay here for Valentine's Day. So he was at home thinking, I need to go see Deborah. It's Valentine's Day. We're supposed to be together. But this was before cell phones. And so he couldn't call me. He didn't know where I was and he didn't know where I was staying. But he decided, get this, that he wanted to be where I was. And so he got in his truck. He knew I was in Sacramento. That was it. He got in his truck and he drove from Marin County all the way to Sacramento and just kind of followed his nose. And I'm walking. I finished my job and I was walking through the parking lot to the hotel from my car to go into the hotel. And Larry practically ran right over me.
Oh, you are kidding me. Holy
no,
cow.
This is a true story. This is a true story.
That's
a true story. It was. Yeah. I was shocked. I was shocked because there. I mean, it was just he just purely used his intuition about where I was. This like set his radar on me, and he found me. So anyway, Valentine's Day can be romantic without toxic chemicals, without sugar, and without consumer products. So let's see, what else shall we talk about? We have to go to break now in about 5 seconds. So you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest today is Annie Bond, and we're talking about Valentine's Day, and we'll be right back after this. Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Annie Berthold Bond. Oops, sorry, Annie Bond. I met Annie so long ago that I still call her.
No, that's okay.
Her old name.
That's okay. That's why I included the B, though, in my address, because if people search for Annie Bond, they don't come up with my books, but if they come up, search for Annie B. Bond, they still come up with books that were under the name of Annie Berthold Bond. So.
Oh, good, good. So, my guest is Annie Bond, and her website is anniebbond.com, and we're talking about Valentine's Day. So other gifts we could give for Valentine's Day, commonly a couple more are, I would say that any gift that you want to give for Valentine's Day, physical or otherwise, well, the physical gifts would be you can get any of them organic now. You can get organic flowers. You can get organic wine. You can get organic chocolate. You can get anything that you would think of. Clothing, anything is all available organic. It's amazing how many organic products are available these days.
Totally.
So look for organic. Again, the Natural Food Store is a good place to do that. We've had as a guest on our show, Organic Bouquet, which is a great place to get flowers, organicbouquet.com. You also might be able to get organic flowers at your local farmer's market or local natural food store. Just look around and see what you can do. But I'm still interested in things that we can give from the heart. And another thing that I thought of during the break was love letters. Isn't this a perfect time for love letters?
Oh, that's a beautiful idea. That's just a lovely idea.
And poems,
yeah.
That
yep.
You could write a poem. You could have a poem written for you. I have a friend who writes poems for people. You can buy a poem for a birthday or Valentine's Day or a wedding or whatever. All of these things are just, it's just a time to, I think people should love each other every day of the year, but this is a time to remember to do that. So what kind
well,
of things?
It's a time to tell people things that you don't normally do, you know, that mm-hmm. about how much you care about people. I think it really matters. I think that's that really matters a lot.
So. I agree with you totally. So what did you, what kind of things did you do with Lily?
Well, I was just thinking that I bought a, I'm a huge heart-shaped rock person. I'm always picking up heart-shaped rocks, and I'll often take pictures of them. And that, but I just still have it. I was just going out of my room where I talk on the radio to find this. I have a heart that has a, it's a metal heart, and written on it is, it's like a paperweight kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And it says, always follow your heart. So that's what I gave. That was sort of a, 1 year, that was my gift to her for Valentine's Day, because that's what I wanted her to be able to do. And it's always a hard, hard lesson to learn, always to follow your heart. So that was an example. I'd always make something, and I'd always be using beets to make my, to make the beet juice, to make something, a frosting red, you know. We do a lot with, you know, just like you had your special heart cookie cutter kind of thing. I would always do things with hearts, and we have a heart shaped waffle iron, and I would make waffles that were shaped like a heart. I think the shape of the heart is a beautiful shape, and so I guess I always found myself focusing around the shape a lot of times.
Yes, the heart. Yes, I think so too. I really like that.
Beautiful. There are a lot of really beautiful quilted kinds of things that have hearts on them. It just always is a reminder to keep your heart open, which is, you know, it's not always easy. We all are shuttered, and it's nice to work to have an open heart.
I think so, too. I think that love is one of the best things. I love love. it's not just a romantic thing. It's just the feeling of connection with other people and wanting to. I think that love as a general feeling and concept has to do with wanting to make things better or make things good or doing things that have to do with goodness. And so if you love a person, you want to do nice things for them. You want them to be happy, but that can extend out into, of course, your family and out into the environment, about loving nature, loving the earth, loving everything. And when you have that feeling for it, then you don't want to harm it. And so, you know, loving your body, loving other people, how could you want to harm them? And I just think that having love for something that results in things being better all around.
Totally. And it doesn't mean, in a lot of the suggestions, excuse me, that you've given, it doesn't require money. So one could spend all year finding the heart-shaped rocks and then give them out on Valentine's Day, you know, that kind of thing. One could write the love poem, do that kind of thing. It really is lovely.
Yes, yes.
For some reason, my eye keeps being drawn to a rose hydrosol that I have. And so there's something about the rose scent that makes me think of Valentine's Day a lot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, and that's something nice to spritz around, I think, would be to spritz around roses. I wonder what the ideology is there. Deborah, you tend to know a lot of about roses, and if the rose scent for Valentine's Day has any kind of historical, you know, meaning to it?
I don't know what the historical roots are of roses for Valentine's Day. And I was looking up what was the history of Valentine's Day at all right before the show. And it goes back to, well, I'm just laughing before I say this, because in the article I was reading, it was talking about pagan roots. And as if that were a negative thing, but to me that's a very positive thing, that there's this whole culture of people who were relating to the seasonal changes of the earth. And at this time of year, there is, it's the time when things start coming back to life. And so it's a time of fertility, it's a time of love, and those kinds of things were celebrated because of the new fertileness of the earth. That at that time, people did ceremonies and rituals to connect themselves to what was going on with the natural changes in the environment. And this is a time when they wanted the plants to be fertile, wanted the food to come back, wanted the animals to be fertile, and it was that kind of a celebration.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it wasn't until Shakespeare that, and see, this is very ancient, and then when Shakespeare came along, he started glorifying love, and they started exchanging Valentine cards that they would give someone that they loved a Valentine. And it was in the form of a card, a love letter, or a poem, or something like that. They didn't go buy them, that they would make them, and that put their love into that physical form. And that's where that came from.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Well, Shakespeare,
really,
you know,
is
very romantic.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And all those sonnets, and, you know, it's just, so... Anyway, there's so much that can be done for Valentine's Day that it's just inexhaustible.
Well, and one thing I was thinking about, you were asking me what I did for Lily. For those who may not know, this is my daughter who's now 25, but when she was growing up, one of the things that I always enjoyed as a child, but is to really include and inspire children to actually do a lot of creative projects around Valentine's Day. And so I remember always getting doilies and having red construction paper and making hearts and doing making Valentines. And certainly for kids, it's a big deal. Everybody's giving away a lot of candy to kids, and kids are giving it to each other and the little hearts with the writing on it at this time of year. The health food stores just are so much better than when my daughter was young at having candy that is made with natural dyes and that you can give, so that they could give out these little, like, natural dye covered M&M type things instead of those little sugar hearts that have the words on them. And there are lots of creative things I think you could do to for kids, so that they don't end up having a lot of toxic chemicals of food dyes in their lives. I think that's, you know, a really good good bar to hold, is to try to keep them from having food dyes for Valentine's Day.
I think so too, because there's so much red dye that goes on in Valentine's candy. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So if you can cut down on that, that is a really big source of toxic exposure for this particular holiday. Well, Annie, it's been a pleasure having you on. We're
Thank you so much for having me, Deborah. I always love being here.
I love having you too. And so we will do it again soon. And this is going to be a great Valentine's Day, I think, for a lot of people. And I think that there's certainly things that we can do that are toxic free. Now you can go to, again, Annie's website is anniebbond.com. And you can also go to my website, toxicfreetalkradio.com, to find out more about this show. Right at the moment, it's down today, but it will be up tomorrow. If not tomorrow, the next day. I'm in the middle between two different websites, and I'm working hard to get it back up. But I know that a lot of you will be listening to this after the website is up anyway, and so that you can go there and you can find out more about how to live toxic-free. And that's it. Toxic Free Talk Radio.